This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Renters are on notice. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Thursday, May 6th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
A federal judge has ruled the CDC didn't have the authority to issue a national eviction moratorium, a measure that's protected millions who are behind on rent in the pandemic.
Despite objections from the pharmaceutical industry, the U.S. is supporting a waiver of intellectual property protection for COVID vaccines.
Facebook has upheld its ban on former President Trump, but an oversight panel gave the company 6 months to decide if the ban should be permanent.
And what endurance athletes say about how the COVID pandemic could make you stronger.
His biggest piece of advice is take it stroke by stroke. In any difficult encounter, any difficult thing you do in life, he's like, it's not possible to go to A to, from A to Z in a heartbeat. You need to go from A to A and a half.
Elizabeth Bernstein at the Wall Street Journal spoke with an endurance swimmer and others on seeing the big picture during the pandemic. The Biden administration says it's in favor of a temporary waiver of intellectual property provisions to allow developing nations to produce COVID vaccines created by pharmaceutical companies. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Lifting patent restrictions means rival companies would be able to manufacture vaccines using public patents without risk of legal challenges. There's currently a proposal working its way through the World Trade Organization. Countries suffering from an explosion in new cases, including India, have pushed for the waiver. The U.S. and other wealthy nations were among the countries that opposed the original waiver proposal last fall, saying intellectual property protection provides an important incentive for innovation. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. In objecting, pharmaceutical companies claim the waiver won't provide the short-term results proponents think it will, partly because of the challenge of setting up complex new production facilities. Wyoming Congresswoman Liz Cheney, the number three Republican in the House, is barely hanging on to her post as chair of the GOP conference. Other powerful Republicans are lining up to replace her over her clashes with former President Trump, citing Ms. Cheney's ability to carry out her job. Ms. Cheney, in a Washington Post essay yesterday, denounced what she called the, quote, dangerous and anti-democratic Trump cult of personality. Party leaders support replacing her with upstate New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. Congressman Andy Biggs of Arizona was on Fox News.
We are repudiating your repudiation of the Trump policies and the Trump agenda and her attacks on the president.
Ms. Cheney ran into political trouble after becoming just one of 10 House Republicans to vote in favor of impeaching Mr. Trump for inciting the attack on the U.S. Capitol 4 months ago. The former president weighed in yesterday, calling Ms. Cheney, quote, a warmongering fool. More now on the tension between Republican leadership and Congresswoman Cheney. From Matt Makowiak, GOP consultant and president of Potomac Strategy Group. Matt, how do you see it?
Individual members of Congress obviously should be able to, you know, make decisions on their own and vote their conscience and make statements that they're, you know, stand by. What's unusual about this situation is that she's taken a position on the necessity of having voted for Trump's impeachment that makes it hard for her to maintain her leadership position. Right? She's the conference chair. The conference chair is supposed to be basically the spokesperson for the Republican members of the conference. And is supposed to be sort of the person who helps to develop the message for all the Republican members. And so when you put yourself on the side of 10 Republican members of Congress, when you have something like, you know, 202 others, you know, that opposed impeachment, it makes it very hard for you to maintain a leadership position. And so for whatever reason, she has continued talking about this when there's really no reason to do so. And it's agitated not just individual members, not just the former president, but now it's agitated the number one and number two members of leadership, Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader, and Steve Scalise, the House Minority Whip. And so I do believe she'll be removed as a conference chair in the next few days. I hope that they're going to elect at least Stefanik, who's an amazing, young, dynamic female member of Congress on the Republican side from New York. She'll still be a member of Congress. She'll still be high profile. Liz Cheney's very bright. She's an outstanding leader on national security and foreign policy, but I think her time as conference chair is probably coming to an end.
All right, so it looks like, I guess, what critics will say, that Republicans are putting the kibosh on her free speech. But as you pointed out, this conference wants unity.
Exactly, and they deserve unity. You know, the Republicans in Congress are stronger when they're unified. And they're not unified right now because there's a division over an individual who's in a leadership position. And that is making it hard, and it's honestly a distraction. We need to stay focused on why Biden's policies aren't working, the shutdown, the mask order, all those issues. And that's not really, you know, what we're doing. We're talking about this kind of stuff. So it's a shame. She still has free speech. She can do anything she wants as an individual member of Congress. She doesn't have a right to a position in leadership in Congress, right? That's a privilege, and that privilege can be taken away if you do not do what's best for the Republican members of the conference. And I think that's the conclusion you're going to have a strong majority come to.
We're speaking with Matt Mikowiak, GOP consultants, also hosts a podcast called Mac on Politics. We're talking about the GOP leadership beef with Wyoming Congresswoman Liz Cheney. Will Republicans primary her?
Oh, absolutely. I think the former president is very interested in going after the 10 people who voted yes on impeachment. And you're going to see that. You're going to see that, I think, with her in a high-profile way. I'm not sure I'd bet against her. I mean, her father was a member of Congress from Wyoming. That family is, you know, has deep roots there. She's going to raise a good amount of money. She's highly capable and intelligent and compelling. So we'll see. But it'll be an unusually high-profile Republican primary in a state like Wyoming that doesn't get a lot of attention.
All right. So what does this do to Republicans' intra-party here?
Well, I think it's going to be a divisive thing for a few days, and that's going to solve itself, and then they're going to move forward. So I don't know that it does that much. It does raise questions about whether you can have your own views on Trump and still be a good Republican or not. And I do think we're in this weird phase right now where he's sort of still the leader of the party, not really. It's kind of slipping through his hands a little bit. But he's also, you know, apparently likely to run again. And if that's true, he'll be the nominee almost surely, and he'll almost surely you know, continue leading the party and defining kind of what Republican, you know, what a Republican is, and keeping a hold over these elected officials, because they do not want to go against Trump because their voters support Trump. And it's a real strong tie at the moment. I think it's weaker than it was when he was president, but it's still strong enough, and it's far stronger than the ties anyone else has.
Yeah. Is Liz Cheney the only one kind of facing this among the 10 who voted, 10 Republicans who voted to impeach because of that leadership role?
She's the only one facing a challenge to her leadership position. But no, all 10 of them are going to face primary challenges. In fact, Anthony Gonzalez, a military veteran from Ohio, is facing a serious primary challenge. I just learned about a couple of days ago, and I think the others will as well.
Thanks, Matt. Matt Mikowiak, GOP consultant, president of Potomac Strategy Group. Coming up next, the Trump decision from Facebook. It's Small Business Month, and Dell Technologies and Windows are celebrating your unstoppable drive. Save up to 45% on powerful PCs with Windows 10 Pro to work from anywhere. Plus top monitors and docks for the ultimate business setup, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right business tech, server, storage, and cloud solutions at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL for Small Business Month savings. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Thursday. An independent oversight board at Facebook has ruled that the company was justified in banning former President Trump following the January 6th riot at the Capitol. But the panel also said yesterday that Facebook didn't appropriately explain if or why Mr. Trump should be permanently banned. The board gave Facebook 6 months to determine if he should be permanently banned, and if so, to explain it fully. Board member Ella Thorning-Schmidt.
In the future, if a head of state of or high government official repeatedly posts messages that pose a risk of harm, Facebook should either suspend the account for a definitive period of time or delete the account.
It also put the company on the line to more clearly articulate its rules for prominent individuals and develop penalties for violators. It also sharply criticized the company for its failure to state clear rules and explain how it enforces them. In a statement, Mr. Trump called the decision a total disgrace. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
U.S. Trade Representative Katherine Tai says the U.S. supports waiving intellectual property protections on COVID vaccines And the administration will now participate in negotiations with the World Trade Organization to waive the rights that protect pharmaceutical trade secrets. The waiver proposal was spearheaded by India and South Africa, which argue it would allow lower-income countries to develop the vaccine themselves. India is facing record-breaking coronavirus cases and deaths, as well as overwhelmed hospitals and morgues.
Number two.
A federal judge has thrown out a national moratorium on evictions enacted last year to help people who have fallen behind on their rent during the pandemic. The judge in D.C. ruled the federal government overreached in enacting the ban. The Justice Department says it will appeal.
Number three.
Number three, House Republican Liz Cheney is calling on members of her party to choose allegiance to the Constitution over the, quote, cult of personality of former President Trump in an editorial published online by The Washington Post. She wrote that the Republican Party is at a turning point. Republican Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio on Fox did not back Cheney.
You can't be the conference chair when you consistently speak out against the leader of our party and you consistently speak out against the positions that the vast, vast, vast majority of our party and our country, I think, holds.
Cheney, one of only 10 Republicans who voted to impeach Trump, is expected to lose her leadership position in the House Republican caucus soon. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is expected today to sign into law controversial election reform legislation critics say is aimed at suppressing voting. Some of the legislation's more contentious features are limits on drop boxes for hand-delivered voting, restrictions on third-party voter registration efforts, and requirements that voters sign up for vote by mail in more frequent intervals. Legal challenges are expected. Looks like a lot of parents stepped up to help their adult children in the last year. A new survey from creditcards.com finds more than three-quarters of parents provided monetary support to at least one son or daughter who was 18 or older during the pandemic, and they dipped into their personal funds to do so. 47% of parents surveyed say they gave their children more than $1,000. 28% say they gave more than $2,500. On average, adult children received $4,154 from their parents throughout the pandemic.
But that'll come back, right? They'll repay
you
that.
You tell us.
Thanks, Jen. In the sport of business, we're all players. And with the game always changing, you need to be versatile. So does your wardrobe. You want both style and comfort to look as good as you feel inside the office or out. That's what Cuts Clothing is all about. Cuts Clothing keeps you sharp wherever the game takes you, from the boardroom to the bar to the gym. How? They reinvented men's clothing, starting with the t-shirt. Their Pika Tri-Blend fabric is buttery soft, wrinkle-free, and keeps its shape. Everything I've worn from Cuts is next-level comfort. Their polos, hoodies, and crew sweatshirts, all classics, made modern with custom-engineered fabrics you have to wear to believe. So versatile, you'll never need to take them off, and so comfortable, you won't want to. It's not just a lifestyle. It's not just clothing. It's office leisure apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing.
Thanks for being with us. It seems we're heading out of the worst of the pandemic. Will we emerge stronger for having had the experience? People who endure adversity or trauma, such as an illness or accident, a death of a loved one, or a natural disaster, often feel more confident, resilient, and brave afterward. Psychologists call this post-traumatic growth. Wall Street Journal columnist Elizabeth Bernstein spoke to endurance athletes who've been in survival mode. Elizabeth, who'd you talk to?
So I spoke to a man named Najee Ali. He swims year-round in San Francisco Bay without a wetsuit, alone, sometimes at night, and multiple times a week. And that water can get as low as low 50s in the winter, Fahrenheit. So this is pretty extreme. And I asked him, you know, what do you really learn from this experience that you use in the water and on land? And his biggest piece of advice is take it stroke by stroke. And any difficult encounter, any difficult thing you do in life, he's like, it's not possible to go to A to Z, from A to Z in a heartbeat. You need to go from A to A and a half. That's what he said. And you do it slowly, and then you do the next thing. And he had an example of getting stuck out in a storm, being pushed further out, you know, from the bay into the ocean, and worried about being panicking. And he mapped his way, stopped, treaded water, mapped his way back to shore with landmarks, what he's going to swim from this buoy to that boat. And then he didn't look forward. He just took it stroke by stroke. When he wanted to sort of give himself some more encouragement, he looked back.
How about the long distance runner? I liked her. That's Alexi Pappas, who had this rule of thirds.
Exactly. So Alexi Pappas is really interesting. She's a professional long distance runner, an Olympian. She set the national record for the 10,000 meters for Greece, the country she competed for in the 2016 Olympic Games. She's also a filmmaker, an actress, an author. So this is an accomplished person. She's quite young, too, 31. So she said the very best advice she was ever given in her life that was transformative for her came from a coach of hers who was also a former Olympian. He told her, you have to accept the rule of thirds. You want to look at life. She was upset. She was training for the Olympics. She had a terrible workout and she fell apart and thought, oh my gosh, I'm never going to do this. Started to cry. I'm failing. And he said, whoa, hang on. There's a rule of thirds. You need to understand this. Life is going to be good, you know, one third of the time. It's going to be great one third of the time, and it's going to be crummy one third of the time. You have to accept that. The crummy is part of the effort. So again, in anything that we're doing that's hard, crummy, good, great, they're all there. And you got to realize every day gets us forward, not just the good ones.
We're speaking with Elizabeth Bernstein, columnist at the Wall Street Journal. Her story is called Can the Pandemic Make Us Stronger? And Elizabeth spoke to a handful of endurance athletes. The Blair Braverman, who said, trust your future self. She's the musher, right? The dog racer.
Yeah, she's a dog sledder, so she's, you know, sort of well-known in that world. She's done the Iditarod. She's done all these, like, multiple hundreds of mile races, you know, the Canadian Challenge, which is 300-plus miles. So she's done these races by herself. This is a sport where you have to go out into the extreme nature, wilderness, by yourself with a bunch of dogs that all have personalities and wills of their own. You have to worry about what's going to come up, a moose, the ice is going to break. It's a dangerous sport.
That's Elizabeth Bernstein, columnist at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
As a business owner, you eventually realize you can't do everything yourself, but hiring is complicated. And what if you only need part-time help? Belay, an innovative staffing solution, has successfully matched thousands of businesses with part-time virtual assistants, bookkeepers, and social media strategists. Belay offers you a virtual support team that can transform your workday. Let Belay help you juggle less and accomplish more. Just go to Belay, B-E-L-A-Y, solutions.com/deal. That's BelaySolutions.com/deal.
The information you need and the truth you demand. Start your day with America's First News. This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Welcome into Thursday, May 6. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. A judge says the CDC didn't have the authority to issue an eviction moratorium. U.S. supports a waiver of intellectual property protection for COVID vaccines. Moderna says its booster shows promise against variants. Border officials deported fewer than 3,000 illegals last month, despite the surge of migrants. Bill Gates has transferred $2.4 billion to Melinda Gates ahead of their divorce. A no-hitter for the Orioles' John Means against the Mariners. And conquering cancer and Mount Everest. That story in 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Capital One. Capital One has no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Capital One N.A., member FDIC. Tenants unable to pay rent because of lost work during pandemic shutdowns may have lost a big piece of protection. A federal judge yesterday threw out a national eviction moratorium, saying the CDC does not have the broad authority to impose it. That measure, extended by the CDC through June, has protected millions of tenants, but created hardships for landlords. Meanwhile, the COVID-19 housing crisis hasn't even hit yet. Tenants facing long-term damage to their credit and the potential loss of their homes if they can't scrape together more than a year's worth of back rent. Now what? More from Katie O'Donnell, reporter at Politico. Katie, set this up.
Congress has passed about $46 billion of rental relief to try and get people current on their rent. So people who've been, you know, put out of work because of COVID and have, at this point, up to a year, a little bit more than a year, possibly, back rent, they're trying to get their arrearages paid before that ban lapses. And so basically, kind of, federal lawmakers feel like they've done their job because they've passed this $46 billion, which is supposed to help these people and prevent them from getting evicted when the ban lapses.
Right.
But there's some problems with that money getting out.
All right, and the problems are, it's kind of a brand new bureaucracy that's been created, right? Folks haven't really done this before or dealt with this much money.
Correct. Yeah. It's the way that the program works. There have been two kind of tranches of payments. So the first one, Congress passed in December, and the second one was passed in March. And basically, these tranches of money go out to state and local governments, who are then supposed to disperse them to residents in need. But these state and local governments, I mean, you have 2,000 counties in the United States, more than 2,000 counties in the United States. They've all had to kind of set up this program, and most of them didn't have an emergency rental assistance program in place. So they're sort of setting this up from scratch, and they have to, you know, because it is federal money, because it's taxpayer money, they have to be really careful about kind of documenting where it's going, verifying the debts that people have, and then getting it into the hands of renters and ultimately their landlords. So, yeah, I mean, it's like anything. A lot of COVID relief has run into problems like these, where you just have this sprawling kind of bureaucracy, as you said, that is trying to do this in like 50 different states, trying to kind of get into these harder to reach communities. And, you know, that's compounded by the fact that it's a huge amount of money, and it's money people urgently need.
Yeah. We're speaking with Katie O'Donnell, reporter at Politico. Her piece is called Millions of Renters Brace for a Post-Pandemic Axe. As part of all that, too, you said, I guess if some of the counties don't distribute, what, as much as 65% fairly soon, they lose the money and it's going to go elsewhere.
Yeah, that's right. So Congress put in the first sort of law on this. They basically gave the Treasury Secretary, starting September 30th, the Treasury Secretary kind of is checking in with grantees who have this money and is allowed to reallocate money. So if you have a county that has used 30% of its money, you know, another county that's paid out 90% of its money, the presumably the need is greater in that second county, or at least that's kind of the operating, that's sort of the reason behind that reallocation. But yeah, as you said, I mean, this is going to be kind of difficult for some of these places because they are building these systems from scratch. And so there is that kind of looming deadline.
Yeah. I guess the cynic in me wants to go, here we go. Government, once again, grinding to a halt, but it does seem like it's more complicated than that.
That's true. It is one of those things. I mean, this is sort of an unusual story because usually when I write a story, there's like conflict over what the final goal should be. In this case, everyone wants the same thing. And, you know, people want, they don't want landlords to have to sell their buildings. They don't want small business landlords to go out of business. And they want renters to be made whole. But it's sort of this sprawling, unwieldy system that has never been run before, and they've had to kind of stand it up on the fly. So it's weird in the sense that everyone's kind of on the same page on what they want, mm-hmm. and they're all just sort of waiting for this to get going in a real way.
So what if you're a renter or a landlord?
So renters and landlords, basically, they apply through this. I think about 70% of the money in the first tranche, the first $25 billion or so, has been handled through state housing finance agencies, and then another 30% at the local level. But there, in your area, there should be a way to apply for this funding. And then, you know, they'll go through, I think, something like 44 or 45 states at this point are accepting applications. So that part of the process where you can apply is actually up and running. It's just a question of getting the money out the door.
Thanks, Katie. Katie O'Donnell, reporter at Politico. Coming up next, getting paid to take a nap and talk about it.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for joining us and welcome into Friday Eve. It is time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we've heard for the past week that Aaron Rodgers may be ready to move on from Green Bay, but it's clear that Green Bay isn't ready to move on from Aaron Rodgers. A restaurant in the city has offered the Packers quarterback free food and beer for life if he stays. Mr. Brew's Tap House has made the offer to entice Rodgers to stick around, valid for him and his movie star fiancée Shailene Woodley. The restaurant's founder and owner said in a news release, quote, "Seriously, we can't let Aaron go. And not only is he coming off yet another MVP season, but he is the face of our beloved franchise." Mr. Brew's Instagram account also featured a photo that read, "Save Aaron Rodgers," and said in the caption that they haven't even called last round yet. Rodgers has been with the Packers since 2005, leading the team to a Super Bowl win in 2011 and winning three league MVP awards.
It's pretty enticing.
I mean, you know, the free food is one thing, but the free beer on top of it, that's that, you know, that might be the kicker. Not that he needs that necessarily.
Right.
Not that he couldn't afford his own, but, you know, I guess a show of affection and love, you know, from the folks in Green Bay.
I don't have a good read on this.
Yeah.
As to whether or not he stays or goes. I tend to think he stays.
Yeah.
But
I
don't have a feel.
I don't know. The Packers are still trying to win, right? They have all these good players around him. They had a really good record last season.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're rebuilding. So if they were to get rid of him, that would, without any replacement for him, that would be a big problem. So I think they're going to try and basically just wait this out. Figure we got a few months till we got to report to training camp, and we're just going to kind of wait this out and hope things simmer down before they have to show up.
I just don't see him leaving Green Bay, but I may be wrong.
And we often talk about dream jobs here, but this one takes it to a whole new level. A dream job, both literally and figuratively. A company announced it's seeking nap reviewers to get paid $1,500 each to take naps for 30 days and document the experience. EachNight.com said it is researching the pros and cons of napping and is seeking a team of nap reviewers to document their midday rests. The company said the nappers will take part in a variety of experiments testing out theories such as the best nap duration for feeling refreshed, the effects of napping on overall levels of fatigue, and the effects of napping on memory, motivation, and productivity. The nap reviewers will be required to participate in video calls before and after each nap to document the experience. Applications for the 5 open positions are being accepted through the end of May on the company's website.
Wow. I mean, that's cool.
I mean, that's a cool job and one that anybody who works here would certainly love to have. But I mean, I can tell them the results of their study. Naps are awesome. I mean, why are we doing this? They're going to pay like, you know, $7,500 for people to figure out what we already know is that naps are great.
Let me just give you the scenario.
Yeah.
Saturday afternoon, 50 degrees, raining, overcast.
Oh, it's got to be raining, yes.
The window's open. There's a light wind coming through. Good night.
Yeah, done.
Good night.
Give me my $1,500.
Okay. This is pretty sobering. Every 10 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or ID theft. And even worse, 23% never recover their money. If you think it can happen to you, that's what they're counting on. But now, there's Aura. Aura is all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and more. And Aura alerts you to fraud and threats fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. It's a new type of security service that protects all of your online information with one simple subscription. Aura is easy to set up, and all plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds and experienced U.S.-based customer support that's got your back. Right now, Aura is offering our listeners early access and 3 free months when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get access before anyone else and 3 months for free. That's aura.com/Gordon.
Glad you're with us. This month, money.com is focusing on spending and saving decisions you can make right now and then reap the benefits of down the line in your work. Number one, file your taxes and make final contributions to your IRA and HSA. You can do this by putting money into an individual retirement account or a health savings account, which lowers your taxable income and therefore lowers how much you have to pay to the IRS. Number two, lock in your summer travel deals now. The pandemic spurred the hospitality and travel industry to make a ton of concessions and accommodations, from flexible refund policies to bonus miles and VIP status. Number three, contribute to a 529 college savings plan. Even if you don't have a child, they can help if you're interested in going back to college yourself or just consider yourself a lifelong learner. And number four, apply for a PPP loan. They're forgivable, and this month is your last chance to apply. Some $44 billion remains available for first-time applicants with fewer than 500 employees.
8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The Biden administration has joined calls for more sharing of the technology behind COVID-19 vaccines to help speed the end of the pandemic, a shift that puts the U.S. alongside many in the developing world who want rich countries to do more to get doses to the needy. U.S. Trade Representative Katherine Tai announced the government's position amid World Trade Organization talks about a possible temporary waiver of its protections that would allow more manufacturers to produce the life-saving vaccines.
Number two.
A new modeling study suggests the U.S. could see a big drop in COVID-19 cases and deaths by July if vaccinations remain high and people adhere to certain prevention measures. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky.
The results remind us that we have the path out of this, and models, once projecting really grim news, now offer reasons to be quite hopeful for what the summer may bring.
The study published by the CDC projects that with high immunizations and a moderate adherence to prevention measures, COVID-19 hospitalizations and deaths will likely remain low nationally and sharply decline by July.
Number three.
A small plane crashed into a Mississippi home, killing one of the home's four occupants and three Texas residents who were flying to a university graduation ceremony. Police identified the dead as 55-year-old Jerry Stanley of Hattiesburg and two adults and a toddler from Wichita Falls, Texas. Authorities weren't aware of any distress calls from the plane, but have yet to review air traffic recordings. A jury in Italy has convicted two American friends in the 2019 slaying in Rome of a police officer in a tragic unraveling of a small-time drug deal gone bad, sentencing them to the maximum life in prison. 21-year-old Finnegan Elder and 20-year-old Gabriel Natale Horth, former schoolmates from the San Francisco area, were each found guilty of murder and four other counts. The July 2019 killing of the officer in the storied paramilitary police corps shocked Italy. The 35-year-old was mourned as a national hero. The lights on Broadway will be back soon. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and city officials have set September 14th as the day the Big Apple's theater district can reopen. Tickets for the first shows will go on sale in just days, and it won't be limited seating. Theaters will open at full capacity. Cuomo says it's up to individual theaters to decide on house policies.
All right. Thank you, Jen. Coming up next, conquering cancer and Everest. It's Small Business Month, and Dell Technologies and Windows are celebrating your unstoppable drive. Save up to 45% on powerful PCs with Windows 10 Pro to work from anywhere. Plus top monitors and docks for the ultimate business setup, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right business tech, server, storage, and cloud solutions at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL for Small Business Month savings. Glad you're with us. For climbers, Mount Everest is the ultimate, right? But not for a mother and daughter from Oklahoma who've already conquered something much tougher. Valerie and Jess Weddell hope to become the first American mother-daughter team to reach the world's highest peak. CBS News spoke with them via Zoom from Everest Base Camp. Jess Weddell said the trip wasn't solely about getting to the summit. She says if they were not enjoying every single moment along the way, then they've almost missed the point. The duo, who are both experienced climbers, started their trek weeks ago. It's brutal for Valerie Weddell, who's 61 and has asthma, but also for Jess, who was diagnosed with ovarian cancer 5 years ago. She's had multiple surgeries and months of chemo. She's now cancer-free. They've already weathered storms on Everest. The pair said there were 60-mile-an-hour winds with whiteout conditions for 43 hours. CBS says they're having the adventure of a lifetime, but time together has been the greatest gift. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.